You might have seen a letter, an open letter, to the Minister for Health and Wicklow Tigh, Simon Harris, of this constituency. And the opposition spokesperson, of course, is in this constituency, Stephen Dundley. And this has been shared over 27,000 times since yesterday. Noreen Kinsella took to Facebook after her son's surgery for a rare heart condition was postponed for the eighth time. In the letter, Noreen writes, Tommy can no longer go to school and must wear a medical mask in public, along with nasal medication in a bid to keep him safe from infection. His condition is a continual nightmare for us parents. Tommy has been rushed to our general hospital in Wexford three times over Christmas with low oxygen levels and blood pressure. We don't know which is the bigger worry, the medical condition which necessitates his visits or the fear of infection while attending Wexford General Hospital, which is virtually in a state of shutdown due to the current influenza epidemic. Imagine being caught in those two. Noreen goes on to write that this morning my seven-year-old asked my husband and I, why did you say again that I could have my surgery and now I can't? Why can I not go back to school to see my friends? Why can't I go play hurling and football, Mammy? Please let me have my surgery so I can go and play. I don't have the answers for him, so can you please advise me on how best to explain the farce that is our health system to our seven-year-old boy? That's what Noreen Kinsella wrote to the minister. Noreen's on the line. Good morning, Noreen.
Good morning, Declan. How are you?
Good morning to you. I can sense the state of frustration. Not just your own frustration, but the level of poor Tommy and him being frustrated and, of course, passing that on to you and you wanting to do your best for him.
That's exactly it. It's, we're all in a state of devastation, to be totally honest. You're trying to build yourself and obviously a very small child up for something, for major surgery. And then he keeps getting turned down at the last hurdle again and again. And, you know, yesterday was just the last straw. I, as a mother, felt like I hadn't fought for my child because I didn't know how I could fight for my child. And yesterday I decided that there was only one man I could actually bring my fight to. And so that's what I did. And as you said, we posted our letter to Simon Harris on social media and the response has just been phenomenal. So please God, Mr. Harris will make contact.
And take us back to the beginning.
Okay, so Tommy, as I said, is a seven-year-old boy. He was born in Wexford General Hospital, a very happy, healthy baby. And we were unaware of any health issues until he was approximately 6 months old. And then he had numerous issues and was in and out of hospital quite a bit. And then at about 10 months old, we discovered that he had holes in his heart. And then only a few weeks after, we had been sent to Crumlin and they said, being diagnosed, he went through open heart surgery and had an AVSD repair done. And he went on for numerous years then and lived a healthy life and even was able to begin playing hurling and start swimming and things like this. But in the last year, his health has deteriorated dreadfully, and particularly in the last few months, he's been taken out of school. He can't exert himself anymore. So, like, football and hurling is gone, swimming is gone. You know, his quality of life has deteriorated massively.
And they're all the things kids want to do, and sometimes they, I presume, don't take it all in, that they can't and others can.
That's it. And, you know, the things we take for granted. I see all the mammies talking about how trying to drag their kids out of the bed on Monday morning to get them back to school. My child would love for me to pull him out of the bed and tell him he could go to school. That's his biggest thing. He wants to play hurling and he wants to go back to school to his friends.
When did you get the first appointment that this surgery was going to take place?
So we met with our surgeon in June and we were told his surgery would take place in 3 to 6 months. So that was the very start of June. So the last week in November, we have been told we would go ahead. That then got cancelled. As you all know now, it's been cancelled 8 times. And yesterday was the second time we have actually been in the hospital, had blood taken, the whole shebang, awaiting to go back this morning. And only a couple of weeks before Christmas, we had been up. We had a full day of pre-ops, all of his bloods taken, all of his tests done. We went home and we presented Wednesday morning for surgery. And we were ready to go down and we got cancelled then again. So on two occasions, we've actually been in the hospital, ready to go. And on the other occasions, then we've got phone calls the night before or the afternoon before to say that there was no ICU beds, perhaps, or, you know, an emergency had come in. And listen, I'm human, we're all human. We absolutely, totally agree that somebody going in there in an absolute emergent situation needs to be seen first. I totally understand that. However, I do feel that a health service in our country, we're not living in a third world country, should be able to deal with their planned and scheduled surgeries and the occasion where an emergency may arrive as well.
Yeah, you would have thought so. And your understanding as regards somebody comes in very quickly after some sort of heart incident and needs to be attended there and then, and you can hopefully take that in your stride, but to be affected and sent home and so many times, it just, you know, it's surprising, you could say, but it's absolutely appalling.
It is. It's devastating. And we also have a 12-year-old, a little girl called Caitlin. Caitlin is also out of school because there's vomiting bugs in the school at the minute. There's flu. Their school was all but closed down before Christmas due to the amount of illness in it. So even our 12-year-old has been massively affected in this, in that she can't go to school anymore either.
So what's the consequences of Tommy not getting this heart surgery?
Well, right now, Tommy can't leave the house without a medical mask. He has a nasal antibiotic cream applied to his nose twice a day to prevent infection getting in as well. Our Christmas was at home with just our family. There's no up and out and about. And, you know, we're a very active family. We're always up and going to park and going places and doing things. We can't do any of that. Even the smallest thing, like going to cinema, he can't go to cinema because he can't take off his mask to have popcorn because there's too many people around. And listen, it's things we all take for granted every day that we don't pay much heed to until you can't do them anymore. He can't run around. As I said, he's had to stop hurling and football. He misses all his friends dreadfully. He misses having the life of a seven-year-old boy should have.
And how complicated is the surgery? Were you told what's involved in that and the recovery period and various things?
Yes, we were. Listen, in terms of complication, he has probably the best surgeon in Ireland who absolutely takes these things in his stride. He does this on a daily basis and he couldn't be any more competent, and we are delighted to have him working on Tommy. So in terms of that, we have no fears. We absolutely place our trust in him, and he has done us well before with Tommy's surgery, and we've no doubt that he will do us well again this time. He is expected to be in ICU for a couple of days and then spend approximately 2 weeks in Our Lady's Hospital, but will be out of action for about 12 weeks until his sternum heals up and everything else heals up as well. So it'll be another 12 weeks after surgery before he can go back to school.
Right, but at least it'll be done and dusted at that. And
that's exactly it, and every day will be a day better, yeah.
Yeah, but in the moment you're in limbo hell, basically. You're waiting, you don't know, Tommy doesn't know, and there's still the 12 weeks to do.
This is exactly it, yeah. Like, we had expected, as I said, to have this done in November, so we expected to have, 7 weeks now under our belt, seven weeks into recovery at this stage, and to think that we're still 7 days away potentially from actually having the surgery.
Yeah, and a young lad like that, I mean, they develop very fast at that age. They're growing up fast, and to be missing the school and the interaction and all that, that can't be good either.
No, it can't. It's mentally draining on him. He's finding it very difficult at the minute. But he's a very happy child who actually makes the whole thing slightly easier for us because he paints a smile on. And as he's only seven, obviously we haven't focused mainly on the surgery, but what he will be able to do after the surgery. So we're preparing him for what he can do more than what he will have to go through. So that's what he keeps focusing on. And that's where the hard questions are coming when he's sent home. He told me that I could play football after my surgery. Why can't you let me have my surgery? That in the eyes of a seven-year-old boy, you know, we as parents tell him something, we then do this, and that's what happens. But unfortunately, we haven't been able to keep to our word in this situation.
What's the next step, and when is the next appointment?
The next appointment, he is up next Tuesday for his bloods to be repeated, and please God, next Wednesday for the surgery. But unfortunately, next Wednesday it's been next Wednesday for well over a month now at this stage.
And all that goes with it, the preparation the night before, the travel, all this sort of stuff, the hope, and then to be dashed.
Yeah, and we both work full time, so having to organise work again. My husband is off work now for his fourth week, as he's been unable to go back because the surgery has been cancelled, and then we've been told it's going to come up again. So therefore he hasn't been able to go back to work. As I mentioned earlier, we have a daughter, so childcare arrangements obviously need to be put into place. I'm self-employed, so of course it makes things difficult then, trying to get people into cover shifts and stuff that way. And then the emotional end of it, that takes the biggest toll.
Sadly, Noreen, you're not alone. You know, there seems to be a lot of people that are in this situation.
There is an absolutely massive amount. And I realised, I didn't actually realise, sorry, the scale of this. I knew there were so many other people like Tommy in this situation, but until I read the replies on my Facebook and the amount of messages that I got of other people in the exact situation, people who have been cancelled far more times than Tommy has and are still waiting surgery for either themselves, their parents or their children, it's absolutely despicable. The hospitals are fantastic. They have been so good to us, both our Wexford General Hospital and Our Lady's Hospital. They have been phenomenal in every way possible, but they are working under such strain in there that they need the government's help as much as any of the rest of us do. They physically cannot do any more than they're doing for us.
Gosh, yeah. I mean, as a result of the letter and all the publicity you're doing, you know, do you think that'll help? Or probably the surgeons they're sympathetic, but they're immune to it because they've got so many stories to deal with.
I don't know
what Simon Harris, what can Simon Harris actually do apart from, you know, saying, oh, well, we think Noreen should and Tommy should be looked after. It's hard to know the way out of it in the short term, whether they have some plans with the long term or not.
But in the long term, like the frivolous money that our governments are spending on commemorations, to name one, is absolutely horrendous. Our country is in dire straits in terms of health, in terms of housing, in terms of homelessness. These are the things right now that need to be dealt with, and not commemorations or pumping money into other things. You know, our country is in dire straits and this is what we need. There are sectors of our country, our health service, our housing, that resemble that of third world countries. That there is no explanation on that.
Well, we talk regularly to the Minister, Simon Harris, on various issues. We've been looking to have a chat with him this week, a couple of occasions, and he's not been available. Certainly, we'll mention your case that he'll probably know about next time we do talk.
Please do.
Yeah, and what can I say? Will you keep in touch anyway and let us know if there's any positive movement on this at all? And wish Tommy all the very best, and yourself, Noreen, and the family. Thanks very much indeed. Good morning
to
you.
Thank you. Bye now.